I am so thankful for the honor to get to stand in this place. And I want to thank this church, its leadership, and your pastor for the trust and fellowship that we share together. And I want to extend my thanks and gratitude to see all my friends and family
today. Amen.
We love you so much. So good to see all of you. Time has went on, but God has never changed.
Amen.
If you will, we'll try not to go too long, but I make no promises.
Amen.
But I'll try. 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. And we'll start in that chapter at around verse 10. And we'll read a few verses here. If you want to stand with us for the reading of God's word, you are more than welcome to do so. If you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Pay attention to that last part of that. We're going to come back to that in a minute. "For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until," oh, I feel the Lord, "until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for each and every song that we've heard. Lord, it has lifted up our heart and our spirit and encouraged us, and we thank you for that. And I pray that you bless them to continue out in their callings. God, we have come as you have sent us here to this place to deliver what you have provided for us to give. And God, I pray it be all of you and none of me. For Lord, I am here as a sacrifice, Lord, for your glory. And I pray, God, this day that you awaken your people, that you open their eyes to see just about who they are in your presence. And I thank you, God, for each one that's here. Is there any that are lost? I pray, God, that you bless them. Draw their heart to the altar of prayer this day. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and the church said,
amen.
You may be seated if you wish. I don't have much of my own thoughts to provide, but I'm just going to offer myself to you today. You see, I don't know if you have been living in the same time that I'm living in, but I'm finding that the income that I used to be able to enjoy has all of a sudden become constrained by debts unaware. I don't know if you're living in the world that I live in, but it seems like that the car that I was told when I bought it would never give me any problems, all of a sudden starting to try to act up and cause issues in my life. I don't know if you live in a house like I do, but it leaks and it cracks and there's issues with it. And I don't know if you're getting older like I am every day, but I'm here to tell you I ache and hurt in places I never thought I would in the days of my youth. I'm telling you, the world that we live in is decrepit, it is decaying, it is getting older every day. Everything that you own is losing its value with every breath that you take. But I'm glad to say today, above all that I own, above all that I possess, I'm glad that I know of a God that is with me, that has been with me, that has been with me through all of my trials. It has not failed me yet. Do you serve a God today that has not failed you? If you've got a God that has not failed you, you ought to stand up and give Him reverence in this hour. This is a day where we ought to be able to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing in my life. So what I came with today is a phrase, the bottom of the barrel. I feel like that God sent me here to talk to a lot of you about this concept of the bottom of the barrel. Now, there are some that would look at a glass as either halfway full or halfway empty.
Yeah, come on.
And I know that it's pretty easy, by as many things as goes wrong, for us to get discouraged. Sure, I'm with you right there. I've been discouraged in plenty of things. Plenty of unexpected things happen out of my control. Things happen to my family members where I'm just confused and perplexed and surprised. Never expecting that something would have happened that day. Just a little while back, we were sitting at, I believe it was the mall. We don't ever get to go. So we're going and we're sitting there and we're sitting at the food court. We're hanging out with some family members, having a good time. And it's just one phone call that changes the situation. And all of a sudden, you can be looking at the good that you have in your life. And all of a sudden, it starts to look half empty instead of half full. And I begin to go into this scripture and search this for my heart. And I'm here to tell you today, if you go to church all the time, if you try to do good all the time, and you try to provide for everybody about you all the time, in general, you're probably going to feel a little bit empty. You're going to feel a little bit tired. You're going to feel like, I don't know if I can go to that next church service. I don't know if I can get to that next choir practice. I don't know if I can get to that next weeknight event. Don't they know that I have a job? Don't they know that I have things going on? Don't they know that my glass is half empty? But I'm going to preach to you today that it's time to stop looking at what God has put inside of you as something that you're lacking. I'm here to preach this peculiar thought to you that what God has put inside of you is already more than enough to get you through what you're going through. You might feel a little bit empty today, but if you'll get down to the bottom of who you are, you'll begin to discover who God is in you. So what was Elijah really asking for? Well, a cake, right? Let's go a little deeper. Now let's think about the bottom of the barrel as the depths of our heart. Is that okay?
Yes.
Now, if things happen in your life that affect how you feel, how you think, it adjusts the very actions you take in every day that you live. And you'll go from being highly motivated one day to something happens, and all of a sudden you have been discouraged, you've lost your hope, you feel empty. You don't feel like anybody understands. Am I talking to somebody out there today? You feel like nobody understands. And all that we've got is just a little bit more before we feel like we're at the end. But let me tell you something about the bottom of the barrel. When the Word of God is involved in your life, what feels like is going to be the end all of a sudden begins to be a transformation into a brand new thing. God don't want you coming in here and thinking I've only got a little bit left in order to make it. He wants you to see that if you give all that you are, all of your praise, all of yourself, that He'll bless you for many days. For a long time, as a singer, I used to love to go and sing. But I'm going to share a lesson I learned a long time ago. As much as I love for people to love to hear me sing, it don't do me any good to get back if I can't love to hear them sing.
Amen. Come on.
Preach, and as much as I love for people to tell me, brother, you really preach good today, that until I can learn to love preaching for myself, then it's not doing me any good. You know why? Because there's a difference in having other people give of themselves to support you versus you giving of yourself to magnify God. There's something about giving all that you are in every part of your life that will let God bless you greater. It's not just being blessed when you obey Him. It's being blessed when you give all that you are in every possible situation. Let me tell you today, there should not be a dry eye in the house of the Lord. There should not be a silent voice in the house of the Lord. There should not be anybody with the ability to dance standing still. Because if we truly gave all of ourselves, while we'd have church in here and we'd have church out there, and we'd go out and show somebody that we're more than just a religious bunch of people, we'd show them more than just being traditional. We'd show them more than just coming and going through the motion. So here's my challenge to you. Empty me. Can you say those words with me today? Empty me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And here's what I have to give to some of you. You may feel like that what you used to have and what you've lost has caused you to lose hope. But I'm here to tell you today, it's what you have left that counts. Take my car away. Does that change how I love God?
No.
Take my money away. Does that change how I love God?
No.
Take my building away. Does it change how I love God? Take away having a sense of normalcy in my life. Having nothing going wrong. Just living normal days. Living in the midst of chaos. Should it change how we love God?
Bless him.
Truth be known, I've struggled with this concept for a while. And some of you may be sitting here today thinking, brother, if you knew what I've been through, you wouldn't ask me to give up all that I've got left. But I'm here to tell you this. Until you learn to give all of you, you'll never receive a true portion of God's power. Until we give up all of ourselves, our pride, our laziness. Woo! I can shout on that one. Our tiredness. Our doing else before we study, amen. Doing everything else before we come to church, doing everything else that we deem important, and all that God is saying is that whatever you have left, let me have it. Whatever you have left, let me take it. Because He can take what feels like nothing and He can turn it into something for His glory.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, Lord. Grew up good church raising, just fell into a path of wrong choices. And before I knew it, I was in drug addiction. How many of you are praying for people that are addicted? Let me see you. Dude, I ain't no evangelist that ain't been through something. I ain't anything special. I'll tell you what I am.
Bless you, Lord.
I was one of those morsels at the bottom of somebody's barrel. You might feel like you've lost hope for your children. But I'm here to tell you, don't give up, because I'm one of those children. Don't give up on what matters to you. Get down to what you have left. Even if it's just a little bit of hope. Even if it's just a little bit of faith. Even if it's just a little bit more of energy that you've got. And if you'll let God have it in sincere surrender, you're not only going to be able to eat for that day, He's going to sustain you for the days ahead of you. What does that mean? That even if you give up all that you are today, one day they're going to be saved. One day they're going to be changed because of your investment. Look over and tell your neighbor, it's an investment. This ain't no just come do it when I feel like it. It's an investment. It's a commitment. It's a life change. It's a mind change. I was preaching this on Friday about the Spirit of the Lord. And I said, where is it? People were looking around wondering where it was. And I was like, it's right here.
Come on.
You know, we don't see the Spirit in physical form, right? So let me ask you this. Do you think that if the Spirit of the living God is in your barrel, that it's empty at all?
No, sir. Come on, sir.
Do we think that even when we feel like we've lost much, that if God's involved, that we've lost anything? Now, I'll tell you, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Come on.
But what is he really taking if he can't take what belongs to God? I'll tell you what he takes. He takes that sense in our mind to know that God's with us. He takes our encouragement to continue to believe every day. And I'll tell you what happens. Before we know it, all of a sudden we're coming to church and we're not sure why we're here. Then a few weeks will go by. Bitterness begins to set in. I know what I'm talking about in this right here.
Amen.
Bitterness begins to set in, and all of a sudden, rather than saying, it's my fault that I'm not getting involved, the finger starts going the other way.
Come on.
And all of a sudden, I'm not willing to give up all that I have left. I want you to make my cake. All right? I don't want to give what's left of me. I want you to make my... Brother Chuck, I want you to get in here and get me out. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yes, Lord.
And poor Chuck, he'll give all that he's got. He'll go home and he won't be able to roll out of bed the next morning. But guess what? Monday comes and you're no different.
Come on.
Why? Because there's no surrender. Without surrender, there is no change. Look over and tell somebody that. Without surrender, there is no change. This Christianity is to say you are Christ-like. And to be Christ-like is to say you're willing to pay the price for the world. You know what that means? I'm willing to give all that I am for everyone else. Now let's go back to this verse. Verse 13. Make me a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son. So there was an order of precedence. That means we don't need to come to church and only praise Him for what we need.
Come on.
That's good. That's good.
Amen. Amen.
Four people are on board with that. First, bake me a little first.
Come on.
Give of yourself to something else first.
Amen.
And since I got a hold of that, my Christianity has never been the same. I spent too long sitting on the pew waiting for somebody else to give me something. When I finally got a hold of it and realized all the Lord wanted me to do was put together all that I have and let Him have it. And then in the end, He supplied my need. Seek you first the kingdom of heaven and its right way of living, and all these other things will be added. Give to me first. Isn't that what we miss oftentimes?
Yes.
We got the songs down, and they're wonderful. And as they're being sung, are we not missing in that moment where we're supposed to give first? I need the song, brother, to bless me before I give. Well, if you're waiting on that, I'm going to tell you, your Christianity is going to look like this. There is something about having a heart for God that will give of yourself first before you ever get anything in return. Because better it is to give than it is to receive. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That means that as you invest yourself in a church service, God will invest in you.
Amen. Come on.
We don't just invest in the church service to build up a church name. We don't just invest in a church service to make our choir look good. This investment is what will sustain you when you're out there and you need God to come on the scene.
Come on. Come on. Good preaching. Good preaching.
People don't like to hear that they have to give up something before they get something. You know, it's great when we go through drive-through windows when they have the pictures. You don't have to even think about it. You just look and you're like, wow, I want that right there. I want that right there. And you know good and well, you see the price right beneath it. No matter how much it costs, the picture usually outweighs what it costs, right? So we see the picture and we're like, oh, I want the double quarter pounder meal with cheese, please. And I want that with fries and a large size with a sweet tea. We're in the South, right? A sweet tea to go with my meal. That'll preach on another sermon one day. But it's talking about getting a visualization for what you want. But guess what? You're not going to get it for free.
Come on.
I wish I had the ability and anointing to preach in such a way that I can get everybody in the house to say amen. But you know what? No preacher can.
Come on.
I wish I could sing under such an anointing that every person would get on their feet just from the anointing I'm singing in. But guess what? Nobody can.
Come on.
Do you know what happens when everyone stands to their feet in unison? It's not coming from you. It's coming from them. Unity is in agreement.
Amen.
In agreement is in a common decision. And a common decision means we're all here to do the same thing, to serve the same God, to achieve the same results. If we're just coming, going through the motions, and nobody's getting saved, nobody's getting filled with the Holy Ghost, then we didn't give up what was in the bottom of our barrel. Because if you did, you'd see more out of your investment than disappointment. I'm here to tell you, I've been burnt out before. You don't have to lift up your hand, but if you've been burnt out before on church, just nod with me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been burnt out before. And I'll tell you what happens when we get burnt out. We've spent too much time giving, expecting something back. But I'll tell you, there's been some times where I've evangelized, preached, poured out of myself, still working 60, 70 hours, and get to the end of the day and I say, Lord, where are you?
Yeah.
I don't know who I'm talking to, but I came for them today, Brother Chuck.
Yes.
Lord, where are you in my situation? All I've got left, God, is just a little bit further before I give up of myself.
Praise the Lord.
Prophet, all that I've got is just a little bit more to make one last meal. All I've got is just a little bit more motivation to come to church one last time. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to right now. But I'm here to tell you, it's not the end yet. You just need to realize what you've already got in order to grow as an individual.
Come on.
But in order to grow, you must give up something. I never grew as a minister until I finally let go of my ideals. And truthfully, I can't remember the last time I had a good ideal to preach about. All of my words that are here in this moment have come from on high. Because I know that when I try to get myself involved in God's plan, I only mess it up. And I'm here to tell you, church, you better take this as a polite warning. If you continue to only do it your way, let me tell you, you're only going to have one last cake. Let me tell you, if you don't invest yourself in the God that is available to you, when you encounter these situations, you won't have peace. You won't have joy. You won't be able to be patient. And ultimately, that does not reflect who God truly is in you. So here's the deal. Can I pull the sword out of the sheath a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm not going to sugarcoat this next part.
Yeah.
If you're grown up, I hope you're ready.
Yeah.
We have grown so discontent because we have went so long without investing of ourselves in the service of God that it's become a blame game, an hour of judgment, and an hour of discontentment. You can't sing it good enough anymore. You can't preach it good enough anymore. The prophet of God came straight from Israel and prophesied to this place, and we still wouldn't receive it the way that we wanted to because it wasn't what we wanted. And now we're dragging our choir, our ministers, into the dirt because we're trying to make them pay what you have to pay for, and they can't pay for what you've got to give up. There's some sin that you cannot keep, that you've got to give up in order to grow as an individual. This is a righteous thing. This is a righteous thing. God wants you to give of yourself.
Come on.
Good preaching.
Good preaching.
I don't know if you've ever left a drink sitting out for a while, but after a while, dust will get in it. And after a while, all the preservatives and the things that made it fresh get stale. And I don't know if you've ever, like, you can do this with Mountain Dew from what I've heard. You can have two Mountain Dew bottles. They look just the same, and you'll forget which one you had the day before and the one that you got out today.
Yeah.
And you'll go to get that old one, and you take a big honking swig out of that, and all of a sudden you're reminded of, oh yeah, by the way, I left that here yesterday. It's dead. People don't need what we had yesterday. They don't need to remember a church in a time before we were ever born. They need to see who you are today. Now, I love my mother, I love my aunts and my family, but I cannot be the church they were in the day they were in. Because if I try to be like it was then, I'll not be prepared for now. How many of you know evil is worse now than it was then? How many of you know we can't keep serving God the same way we did then because we've got a brand new battle now? Our children and their children are enduring the temptations of the enemy like you had never seen before. They don't have to sneak out of the house to get in trouble. They don't have to sneak out of the home to cause disaster. Look at their devices and see just how quick the enemy can destroy. But I don't have the time.
Bless the Lord.
We sure have the time to complain.
Woo. Come on. Amen.
I tell you, the calling of a pastor was not to screen out your complaints.
Come on, bless the Lord.
You know what I tell people when they complain to me? You ain't got time for this. I don't baby it. I don't humor it. I tell them this. You ain't got time for this. If people have offended you, if people have sat you down and made you feel like you can't be who you are, I'm going to tell each and every one of you under the sound of my voice, you ain't got time for that anymore. If people have sat you down, judged you, made you feel less than yourself. You ain't got time for that anymore. There is something God is wanting out of his people. He's looking for a generation that's going to give all of themselves for the glory of God. Are you out there today? Are you giving all that you are? I'm afraid that I heard a sermon a long time ago. This is what makes me afraid of the 80-20 principle. Have you heard this? 80-20 principle. 80% of the church will depend on 20% of the church to sustain the church. And you run off the 20% because you never give them any help.
Amen. Amen.
So here's what I want to tell you. You may not be behind the piano. You may not be behind an instrument, but you have an investment to give. Whether it's a hand raised, whether it's a shout, whether it's a hug, whether it's support, whether it's tithing, whether it's coming to church on a regular basis, whatever it is, you have something to give. And here's the great part about it. You don't have to do it just because the choir told you. You don't have to do it because the pastor told you. If you do it, it's going to cause you to eat a little while. Too long I've let the devil speak to me and make me think less of myself. Make me feel like what I had left was nothing. But I'm here to tell you something. You're worth it. I don't care how old you are. You're worth it. You are worth something to God. And he wants you to see what you have been formed in was what he wanted you to be. I never saw, when I was in my bondage of addiction, my freedom. I didn't see it. But there were people who had seen me the same way for a long time. And guess what had to happen? For me to get help, somebody had to reach down. Somebody had to reach to the very, very bottom. To the last point where they could possibly believe to see me free. But guess what? Even when the moment was created for me, there was something that had to happen here. Let me give this call out to you today. It is time that we take whatever it is that's in us, that's keeping us held down, and that we get every part of it, and we finally have this moment with God where we say, Lord, I'm ready for a new day.
Yes.
I'm ready for change. And if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life, the same shall be saved. But for those of you that are the everydayers, everyweekers, regular attendees, I'm here to tell you, there's still something down there you just got to dig. But if you'll invest yourself in your church, wherever it is, invest yourself with what you have. God's going to unlock divine miracles in your life. And I'll tell you this, and I'll try to wrap this up. When I was in the worst of my estate, I had dropped out of college. I wasn't doing anything. I lost my car. Didn't have anywhere to go, anywhere to live. Didn't have anybody in a relationship. Everything was gone. There was still, oh Lord, I felt that for somebody. There was still something in the very bottom. God said he gave every man, every woman, a measure of faith. Do you know what's in the bottom of your barrel? Faith.
Bless the Lord.
You have lost everything else. There's still faith. When you feel like everything else is hopeless, there's still hope. When I surrender to God, my life, my heart, my mind, I didn't feel like I had anything left to give. I couldn't say, Lord, I'll give you all my glory by driving to church because I couldn't drive. I couldn't say, God, I'll give you all of my money that I have to your offering plate because I didn't have any. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have any hope. But they showed me out of their obedience to God, people that loved me, that there was still something that was worth fighting for. And I went from being a dropout to getting my college degree. And I went from graduating college to entering into the field of IT. And I went from just having an entry-level job to having opportunities to travel the world and see things I never thought I would see. But I'm here to tell you, it didn't start with the barrel filled up over the top. It started with an investment of my life where I said, God, I'm ready to change my life. Lord, I'm ready for a new beginning. I give you all that I have left. It may not feel like much. It may not even be much to the world, but it was enough to see change in my life. And I went from just being a church goer to a musician, from a musician to a singer, from a singer to an exhortation individual, from exhortation to testimony, from testimony, we can go through these levels one day if you want to know where you are, from testimony to preaching, and from preaching to evangelizing, from evangelizing to investing ministry outside the four walls. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm doing all that I can for the glory of God, and every minute that I invest for Him, He is mindful of all the other 23 hours and 59 minutes of the day where I depend on Him.
Yes, glory, glory.
You only need 1 minute to change your life.
Right. 1 second.
You only need one decision to have a brand new beginning. But I'm here to tell you, when you've held on to that bottom of the barrel for a long time, it feels pretty hard to give up. When you've held on to this pride of trying to be somebody for 10, 20 years, it's hard to be something new. Change is hard when you don't want to change who you are.
Yes. Good word.
Let me say this and I'll try to close. If someone wants to come and prepare a song, I would appreciate it. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. If the word of God sustained the meal, guess what? It sustained the oil. If you'll just get here and invest yourself, guess what? That oil, that anointing, that spirit, it'll grow.
Right.
Yeah.
We want a church that's on fire. I do. Do you? We want people to get saved. I do. Don't you? But here's the real question. Do we want it bad enough to invest ourselves in the moment? But brother, I've never lifted my hand to praise God my entire life. I was scared to death. That's what the devil's been holding on you, my friend. And I'm speaking to those chains today, and I'm here to tell you, those chains ain't going to stay on there anymore. It's time for a new day. It's time for a new praise. It's time for a new generation to stand up and say, we're going to give all that we are. It's time for the days of just coming to church to come to an end. It's time for the days of I'll just be here and exist to come to an end. God put something in you. Invest it for His glory. We read this last part. You can go ahead and stand. Until the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days. If he could feed thousands with a few fish and loaves of bread, if he could sustain this woman's cupboard, then is he not more than able to save your children? Is he not more than able to change your ability to be more bold, to step out into your calling? Some people in this place, I'm here to go ahead and just hide and go seek this. I've saw you. I feel your presence in here. You've been called and you've not stepped out. And God said, it's time to invest in your calling. It's time to invest in your church. It's time to invest in your music. It's time to invest in any area that you can. For if you do, guess what? All these other things. Altar call is now open. If you are in need, God is ready for your investment. Will you give up all the sin of your life and say, God, forgive me for what I've done? If you've been stagnant and stale, will you come and say, Lord, I'm giving what's left of me so that you can do something new? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of a new beginning. I love you and appreciate your attention. If you forget everything else I've said, you remember this. It's time you start investing yourself to God.